You're listening to the SourceCon podcast. SourceCon is the leading source of news and information for sourcers and recruiters who source. To stay up to date on recruiting and sourcing news, or for information about upcoming conferences, visit SourceCon.com. And now your host, SourceCon editor, Jeremy Roberts.
Hi, this is Jeremy Roberts. Welcome to the SourceCon podcast. Today we are here with Matt Ferry. Matt is a past speaker at SourceCon, and he's a writer for the SourceCon blog, and he has had some of the more technical blog posts that we've shared that are always a lot of fun. So I'm excited to have Matt here today. Things that Matt has written about in the past, how to find almost any GitHub user's email address, and he showed us how, with a little bit of script and code, he was able to put together something that would show you almost any GitHub user's email address. Other things he's written about, why I failed the LinkedIn recruiter certification exam. That was shared 3,500 times on LinkedIn, so that got quite a bit of traction. He's talked about recruiting from dating sites. I know quite a few people have tried that over the years. He's talked about gamifying a technical recruiting outreach message. And so I think we're going to get into some of these in more detail as we talk, but I want Matt to go ahead and introduce himself. Matt, welcome to the show. Go ahead and tell everybody about yourself and kind of where you started and what you're doing now.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. I'm very happy to be here. I think SourceCon is definitely one of the cooler resources out there. This gives so much back to the sourcing community that I love contributing. I love talking to everybody. And yeah, thanks again for having me. To start, you know, I got my start in an agency. I actually got really lucky and kind of fell into the sourcing function, and it ended up being kind of a perfect match for not only my skills, but also for the things I enjoy. In a past life, I was a let's say a security computing aficionado, and I, you know, was able to.
Now, when you say security aficionado, did you enjoy breaking into things, or did you help people with their security?
It was a mix of both. You know, I got really interested in school when they started locking us out of games, and when the internet came along, they started locking us out of that. So it became, you know, a game for me to how do I get around this, and translated that into just kind of computers and technology, and got interested in coding. And then it turns out that, you know, you got to have a degree and a real job to make it in the world. And it turns out that those skills translated quite well into sourcing, you know, being able to kind of get into things that are hidden, uncovering information that my peers and my colleagues aren't finding. I think it fits quite well. So started an agency, worked my way, did some training for NetPolarity. Then I moved into contracting, and now I work for a large internet retailer.
Excellent. Now, have you ever had the police called on you in your early hacking days?
Yes. There was a time when I was younger where the authorities showed up. It was kind of during the, if you remember Napster, when Napster was huge, man, I was still in high school at the time. And I figured out how to get into the main networking stuff at the district, and ended up using the entire district's bandwidth on one Mac computer in a computer lab, just downloading all sorts of crap from Napster. So it wasn't the brightest thing I've ever done, but unfortunately, yeah, that happened. And the police were informed.
Awesome. Now, all right, so moving on. Now, you said you're currently with a large internet retailer. What is your title right now?
Right now, I am a technical sourcer in title. So basically I do candidate generation, I do candidate reach out, I do candidate engagement, and basically everything up until the on-site or offer stage of the interview process.
Excellent. So everybody defines sourcer a little bit differently. I think 7 or 8 years ago, most people with a sourcer title were just building lists of names. We've seen over the years that they've been getting further into the process. So Matt identifies and engages the candidates, and then gives them to a recruiter and kind of turns it over at the offer stage. So, excellent. Now, how to find almost any GitHub user's email address. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was a fun one. So basically, you know, companies have all this information on their users, on their customers, and you know, GitHub is very cool. If you're not familiar with it, it's a repository where engineers can upload and host their code. They can share it with other engineers, and they can create a profile. And when you sign up, it will ask you, you know, what's your email address? And the user can then choose to either share that information publicly or keep it private. However, when they update a code repository, contribute something to some code, or basically make any activity with a piece of code, it'll stamp their email address as having done so. So long story short, instead of relying on public information from GitHub, we use their API to ask the information about the user and return that to us instead.
Basically, have figured out a way to use the GitHub API to extract people's contact information, right?
Right. All that right. They typically don't want you to have.
And so, this is demoed on a blog post on SourceCon. So these people don't necessarily realize that. But so say you see someone on GitHub that's doing what you are interested in and you want to have more conversation with them, then you can use this tool that you built or this script that you wrote to extract that email address.
Oh, I can see. Yeah, it's literally as simple as putting a line in your browser, and you can copy and paste that URL from the SourceCon blog.
All right, so then you do that, and then you get their email address. So this was an interesting one for me, because Matt brought the idea to me last year. I guess it was late in 2014. He brought the idea to me, and we decided that before we ran the blog post, we would run it by GitHub, by their bounty program, to see if they wanted to fix it. And apparently, when we reached out to them, they were like, yeah, good find. We can't fix that because that would break something else that we have to have. And so because he took it to the bounty program before we published it, we were able to talk about it.
Basically, so, yeah, they said that's intended functionality. And I said, okay.
You know, that's on the candidate identification side. That's something interesting that Matt's doing. Now, another one that he recently put out about on the identification side and getting to contact information is how to get around Whois email proxies. So tell us about Whois and why a sourcer would want to use Whois.
Yeah, Whois is really cool because if you're looking for candidates and they happen to have their own domain name or website, there's actually registries for that. So whenever somebody goes to register a website or a domain, they have to provide basic information. And typically, this is public information. You can ask domain providers for this information. And typically, they'll give it to you with a little hassle. It's called a Whois lookup. If you just Google Whois, W-H-O-I-S, you'll find a multitude of people who will give you that information for free. However, for a small charge, a person can obfuscate or kind of scramble their contact information. So instead of getting, you know, like bobjones@gmail.com as part of the Whois lookup, you'll get, you know, bob@privateregistry.com. And for a long time, I mean, myself included, I mean, everybody goes, oh, well, that's some super secure email address. You know, they're never going to get this email. So I started messing around with Mark Tortorici and just emailed one of those private email addresses from a Whois lookup. And it turns out that they just go right to the person that you're trying to reach anyways. So that was just kind of fun. It was like, yeah, it's a waste of time to skip these, right? And one of my favorite things is somebody on Twitter was like, well, you know, that's just sending an email and getting them to respond. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of how absurd this whole thing is.
That's the beauty of it. It's simple.
I think I speak, you know, for myself and a lot of other sources where, you know, if you come across something like that, like, you know, bob@privatesecureregistry.com, you don't think they're going to get that email anyways. So you are typically discouraged. So it's nice to know that that's actually going to go to probably the person you're trying to reach anyways.
Absolutely. Now, one other thing I want to talk about before we kind of open it up to Matt to share anything new he's working on, the gamification of an outreach message. So you have been sending outreach messages to candidates that include code. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, I sat down with one of my software engineering buddies, and you know, we crafted a message that was syntactically correct. You know, my knowledge of code only goes so far, and I wanted to craft a message that engineers could get and put into a compiler and kind of have that be the outreach. So we wrote some code that an engineer can copy and paste from email or LinkedIn or wherever, paste it into their development environment if they're at work or at home. And instead of your typical, you know, hey, do you want to discuss a new opportunity message, they actually get an application running on their screen that's talking to them, that's engaging with them, you know, describe your role in one word, and you know, basically just kind of poking them a little more than just a message. Some of my engineer friends love getting those. Some of them hate them, but I think it really just depends on who's your audience, right? You don't want to use that type of message for everybody. But if you come across somebody and you know that that candidate's been hammered 30 times just by your company alone, you want your message to stand out a little more. And I think that's kind of the edge over you know, good recruiting and better recruiting.
Yep, absolutely. Now, what are you doing that you haven't written about yet? What kind of new ideas or what would you share with recruiters and sourcers who want to get better at this technical side of identifying and engaging people online?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a cliche at this point, and it's sadly something I'll admit that I haven't done too much of until recently is kind of social recruiting. A lot of times, you know, now you go social recruiting, going to post my stuff on Facebook or LinkedIn and you know, hope somebody clicks on it and applies. And you kind of lose sight of the fact that, man, social is actually about engaging. It's about creating a dialogue. It isn't necessarily going to fill your recs today, but it might fill them, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now. So, you know, I've been really kind of diving into this. You know, Twitter has been awesome because I can directly monitor the conversation about my products and my team and the company I work for. So, you know, I could just subscribe to, let's say, a hashtag. I can monitor that hashtag daily, and then I can click through. Who's talking about this? Are they engineers? Are they, you know, program managers? And can I engage them that way? And so far, I'd say it's been about a 90% positive response rate just from that avenue. I mean, if you think about that, 90% of the people you're reaching out to who are already talking about your product, your company, or your group in some way, I mean, that's phenomenal. That's what we all want to shoot for. And I'm kind of upset I wasn't doing this longer. But that's kind of like my new thing. And
you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I think I got really lucky as well because, you know, I came up just a couple of years ago. I've only been doing this for four years now, and there's, you know, that's kind of what's out there. That's kind of what I know as the internet, so to speak, at a very superficial level. And it's, at the end of the day, it's where you got to go. You know, you have to have candidates, you have to have a pipeline, and social is just it's a great way to get that.
So you've only been doing this for 4 years?
I started sourcing in 2011.
Actually. Wow. So, yeah. You know, this is a great example of tenure does not mean better in a lot of industries these days. And I think Matt's a great example of that because if you go look at what he's written on SourceCon and you go hear him present at one of our events, I mean, he's definitely on the cutting edge. And it comes from creatively looking at problems. When you see a problem, when you look at a domain online, tell us how you process that information, like the GitHub thing. How did you go about attacking that problem? I think that's something a lot of people, you know, they can learn to write a Boolean search string. They can learn to do a couple of things. But I think a lot of people don't learn how to look at each website and find vulnerabilities. What advice would you give for them?
Yeah, so maybe it works for me, but the way I see it, especially with the GitHub thing, is, now, some people have this information publicly available. Some people do not, which means that the information is there somewhere. GitHub's got this information. and this person doesn't want me to find it. But why not? Right? So that right there is just the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to zero in on just the fact that you don't want me to have it. Now I want to have it. I'm driven more to find it. So it's okay. What tools are available to me? GitHub's got an API. They've got it very well documented. Is there any way that I can get this information quickly? Like, what's going to be the quickest and easiest method for me to do this? Sure, you could Google the person and you can, do some detective work and research and find out who this person is elsewhere. But I just kind of dove into the documentation of the API looking for anything that would provide me with that information at the email address of the user. Found the one call that seems to work publicly and haven't looked back since. So just by kind of being, I guess, stubborn and wanting to solve the problem more than giving up, I guess, man, that sounds lame and motivating, but that's just it. You got to be stubborn. You got to set your mind to it, and you have to have that drive to attack a problem until it's dead, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, I work with some phenomenal sources who they're not technical, right? They're never going to sit there and do these GitHub things, but, you know, they're phenomenal at, talking to people. They're phenomenal at closing people, and you know, that's just my skill set is sitting in the corner and finding out these fun things and letting my work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I try to impart on, on people in my posts is, let your work for you, try to have fun with it. We're in an industry that's not only very competitive, but, quite frankly, frowned upon. So you got to be better. You got to be smarter. You got to be faster. But at the end of the day, I think you have to be you. I get on the phone with candidates from God knows where, and I think within 5 minutes they go, okay, this guy's totally from California. This guy says dude in like every 5 seconds. And that's okay because that's the authentic conversation I want to have with these people. And mm-hmm. I think having that authenticity at the end of the day really is the difference between them going with your offer and going elsewhere. So hopefully my work and the things I contribute back to the community drive in that direction, but that's kind of where I come from.
We look forward to learning more from you in the future on the blog and at conferences. So have a great week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thank you all for listening to the SourceCon podcast. To learn more about the Dallas Fall Conference, visit sourcecon.com/2015.